You're listening to YourRightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. In our lesson today, in the reading of the Scriptures, we note that the thing that will mark these last days of the perilous times, and this is where we are now, and everything that follows describes what he means by perilous times. We've come to a time in Scripture when we have the lie speakers. They have a form of godliness. The manifestation of that in America and around the world is that institution of religion, which is supposedly the light of the world, is not light, but darkness. Our own nation is probably one of the greatest examples of that there is. We have moved from a Christian educational system to a educational system, they call it humanism. But actually, it's nothing in the world but the old lie speaker and the worship of Baal and Moloch as we offer our children to the fire. This may be hard for you to understand, but we'll take it a little bit easy to let you see what I'm saying. See, the word Baal, what do you think it means? It means Lord. Have a form of godliness, but deny. Whereas the light of this word is not enough. It's manifest in every institution in America today. The word of God is not sufficient. Oh, I know lots of proclamations about they believe it. But if it was, it would accomplish its purpose. And God has claimed that's all that's needed. It tells us in 1 Timothy that it's our full equipment. We've substituted everything for it. And we've sacrificed our children. And a whole generation has gone by that's known no other teaching. It's no wonder that we're in the shape we're in. And I want to confess that I've not done my part exposing this lie. I knew that there was something wrong, but I never connected it with the idea. There's nothing in the world but the old Baal. And her prophets are everywhere. There is a need for a prophet from God. And since we live in a time when prophets are not real in our dispensation because the Word of God is complete, God's going to send one of these days before long. That's what we want to be dealing with in the weeks ahead. You see, our Lord in the days of his flesh made it clear that no man could know the day and the hour. But the fact that he used such a word for knowledge is intuitively. We can't know factually unless God himself speaks the facts. For instance, when the man of sin is present in this planet and sets up worship in the temple of God, or rather the tabernacle of God in Jerusalem, the nation of Israel at that particular time will realize that he is Satan incarnate in the flesh. And God has told them, he computed it for them. There's just 290 days until I'm coming, or 190, 1290 days. I don't want to misquote the Lord. So every Jew will do two things. He'll start running and he'll start counting. That's exactly what he'll do. Now, last week we dealt with the latter times, showing the spirit, the movement. We got a call just as it went off the air Saturday about this very thing. A man called. He had two visions. I'm going to turn in next Saturday and you'll hear the discussion. And he asked me point blank, did I think this was the spirit of the enemy? And, of course, I didn't have time. We're going off there. We're going to deal with that next Saturday. I want you to see what you can know of the spirit world. We're told not to fiddle around with this. Colossians tells us. Don't get involved with it. But we've come down to a place now where it's forced upon us. And in our Ephesian letter, you remember, it tells us, finally. That when you come to the final end, there has to be a stand taken. And stand, brethren, that's what it tells you. It doesn't tell you to go out and attack, it tells you to stand. And they're going to have to, but you haven't got too long to stand. I personally don't think you have too long. But you know, the wonderful thing about that lesson today we have is that verse 9, that little but down there. Their folly is going to be exposed. And I believe when Elijah comes, that you people who are equipped with a mystery will be God's vessels until Israel can itself get itself adjusted. I believe we will be that. That's going to be one of our privileges. And it's so near. If ever you needed to set your affection on things above, you sure need to set them there now. We're going to begin to see this. That's the only what God computes can we really know. We can see, we'll see the signs of the times that allow us to know that if we are this last generation, we can understand. But we need to know right now the thing that will be prevalent, and that is the lie speaker. You know, communism is nothing in the world but a religious system. Darwinism is nothing in the world but a religious system. All the isms of all the world are nothing in the world but a religious system. Today you can wrap it up with the term humanism. It's not for human. It's not good for the human being, but that's, again, its very name is a lie speaker. That's the word that God uses, and that's a proper word. It's pseudo. It presents itself as a speaker of truth, but it's a lie speaker. And the whole world will eventually, when Israel is going to be reborn, and they're going to apostatize for the last time. And we're seeing now the framework being laid for that. And that's why it's so important, because the last days he refers to here are the extreme end of the latter days. The latter days cover a generation or so. But the last days include this extreme aspect of that. And the characteristics, we've read them so many times, I better be sure, that you understand the characteristics of the depravity of man. As we are we in the last days of the latter days. Now the spirit of the latter days speaks in hypocrisy. We're told we'll have two great emphases. One, the spirit world is telling and commanding its people not to marry. And the outflow of that is because women are just like men, you know. There's no difference. They're equal in everything. They don't need anything. They don't need a man. And how they can ever convince a woman or a man that they don't need the other is beyond me. But nevertheless, that's the big lie. They don't need to recognize God as the originator of that union. And that's the lie speaker. See, it's pseudo. How many homes in America have been destroyed because of that lie? And its children being offered to Moloch, the fire. You know, last year, and again, the Supreme Court is another mimicker of that lie speaking. They cannot plead ignorance because the Supreme Court itself, in 1892, and I have the case, the brief, if you want to read it, about 25 pages, Supreme Court itself declared in a resolution called the Trinity Case that this nation is a Christian nation. Everything about it has roots there. So the Supreme Court, the very laws that they're ruling on today, deny what the nation believed up until 1892. And this year, some 1.5 million babies will be offered to Moloch under the title of the right for a pregnant woman to have her child aborted. Even when to show you how the time in which we live is so changed, I can't believe it, hardly, because before I even knew the Lord, did you know I believed the Bible was the Word of God? I never questioned that fact. That's how our education system was. It hadn't taken root yet, you see. But this generation of our time, and we owe it all from a human instrument, a man named Mr. Dewey. I think you know that without me telling you, but just to remind you. One man has done this as the agent of the enemy. And all the time we had our churches building great edifices. I went to England back after the war in 67 for the first time. England, where the Word of God, the sun never set on Britain's soil, you see. And the Word of God had access over the whole world. And we had a queen over there named Victoria who tried as best she knew how to evangelize. And of course what they call today the international bankers had other plans too, the lie speakers. Today we're paying the price of that evil work instead of doing what God intended for them to do. And look at Britain today. He can't even rule his own island, let alone. We noticed on the television just yesterday, 100,000 people in protest against the British government. See, chickens are all coming home. In South Africa, we've got the same thing. We had our siege of it not too many years ago when they went paraded in the streets for equality among the races. We thought that was a great thing, didn't you? That was a humanist point of view, you see. It really was. Now we got the radicals, the whites, doing just the same thing. I noticed in Chicago, the Ku Klux Klan are doing the same thing that the other people did. Did you see, beloved, what's happening? That's what the humanists want. They want to raise these issues that are fundamental to human nature. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're discriminatory? You think you discriminate? You know you're breaking the law when you do. You don't think anything about that, do you? You're breaking the law. Right now, they don't do anything to you very much. One day, if God does not intervene, as I think he will, but if he doesn't, one day they'll come through that door there and they'll tell me they're going to be whistling Dixie when they do it, but they're going to tell me what I can and cannot do on this platform. And you think that isn't true. I just got a booklet from Brother Singer, who's from Latvia. His home, of course, has been incorporated into the Soviet system, which is just another arm of humanism. That's what it amounts to. Everything is looked in mass. The individual is not considered anymore. You're not going to lose your liberty, brother. You haven't found out about it yet, but you're going to find out. Well, the last speaker has taken the field. Now, we who know we need to stand, when we do, we're going to feel the wrath not just of the last speakers, but of institutional religion. We've already had it pointed out to us on our little program down there. When we went there, they didn't say a word about what we had to say. But about 2 months ago, they changed their tune. They said that what this man says on the radio down here is not necessarily our belief at all. That's a very mild reprimand, you see. And that's the best Christian station in Oklahoma. They had to put that on there for their own protection, see. You quit worrying about protecting yourself. You better stand for the truth wherever you see it. You've been concerned about, here's what you're concerned about, notice. Men are lovers of their own selves. Are you guilty of that? Covetous. You want everything you see. My boy came up, told me I needed a new chair in my living room. I need a new chair like I need a hole in the head. See, maybe I need that too. See, because they got a little cash in their pocket, it burns their pocket, they got to spend it. Boasters. They tell you how successful they are. Proud. They're proud of it, too. And this whole system that we're, again, is blasphemers from the first water. I notice that once a year they read Mr. Washington's farewell address to the Congress. Hardly any congressmen are there. They all leave. They won't listen. Yet they got a big monument out there. And just like the Pharisees, they built the tombs of the prophets. But they're the one that killed the prophets. It testifies against them. They spit in Mr. Washington's face every time they get up in that legislative body. They pass laws that they know are not within the boundaries of the Constitution. And the Supreme Court backs them up. The time has come when you must choose who the Lord is. Either he's Baal or he's Christ Jesus. Turn to we just for a minute to illustrate the point. Turn to 17th chapter of Acts. The church at Thessalonica. This wasn't an unusual experience. This was commonplace when this was written. And it says in verse 1, he came to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews was. And it says, Paul, now notice, as his manner was. In other words, this is exactly what he did everywhere he went. What was his message? He alleged that for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Notice, he didn't reason out of his head. He reasoned from Scripture. Opening a legend that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is who? He is the Messiah. He's talking to the Jews. Who is the Messiah? That's the Lord, as far as the Jew was concerned, if he believed it. Now, he was arrested. And you notice now what happened when he was arrested. And how that the lie speakers viewed it. It says in verse 7, where Paul was staying, they said, Jason hath received him, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, another God. You see, the Caesars of Paul's day were deified as gods. That's why when Jesus took the coin from the Pharisees, and say, well, the Caesar says we should pay taxes. He said, let me see the coin. And they picked the coin up. On one side was a Caesar's imprint. He said, whose image is this? Caesar's. Well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But unto God, the things that are God. Our First Amendment, see, our founding fathers understood this was a possibility. So they made it just as plain, as simple as you can make it. You shall make no laws concerning the free of religion. This is addressed to, who is the drink is addressed to? The government. It don't address the religious people, it addresses the government. You make no laws about this matter. None whatsoever. You see, the same God who is all in all today in Christ. See, Christ is all. See, he is Lord, or he's nothing else at all. He has to be Lord. Colossians 3:11. There's no such thing as any nation in God's sight today. Jew, Gentile, Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free, but what? Christ is all. That's all there is. And Romans 13 tells us that the delegated authorities that be, that's the church or the government, makes no difference which one we're talking about, are ordained of God. If you think that doesn't include the government, let's just see. Look at verse 4, Romans 13. You see this real plain. Speaking about the government, he's the minister of God to thee for what? for good. If thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God to revenge it, to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. That's why you pay taxes. He's to be a minister of God for good, not for evil. But when he begins to interfere with the things of God, and from the Supreme Court right on down, they're doing it every day. They're telling us that we cannot even put the Ten Commandments up in the church. We cannot read the Bible there. We cannot pray. What authority do they have? They don't have a leg to stand on. And they know it. Why? They're the lie speaker. That's the Supreme Court of the United States, beloved, I'm talking about. And every time, this is a terrible charge. When we send our children to the public school system, we're offering them to who's the Lord of the public school system. That's right. There's the Lord. Now, we don't take it that way ourselves, but that's a fact. That's how God sees it. And as I say, if he does not intervene in grace, and thank God it says he will, he's going to expose all this folly, every bit of it. And to those who don't bow to it, the same thing will happen to them that happened to the prophets of Baal, because that's what they are. Elijah would say, take that bunch out and do what with them? Not going to put them in jail. No, sir. He said, I don't want one of those rascals, not a one of them, to get away. And they didn't. That's what we got coming. And you and I are going to be a part of that if we're here when it happens. And you're going to see in the next few weeks ahead that we have computed for us the time if we are in the end of this dispensation. If we're not, as I said before last week, then we can look for God's judgment upon Baal himself. And that'll be 10 times worse. Either way, you better pray that our position concerning Elijah is correct. Because if it's wrong, then this nation and all the nations of earth are in for the greatest bloodbath in all history. There's nothing compared to it. Nothing. It'll make World War II seem like a Sunday school picnic. There'll be not just atomic warfare. They may not use that. That's too obvious. They got big guns to. We're even going to have a Star Wars to stop that. But the one thing they're not talking a lot about is chemical warfare. And they've got enough nerve gas in this world today to paralyze every one of them, if they make us who it is. And if God doesn't judge directly, the enemy is going to. You see, God is the only one who loves the human race. He's the only one that could. The devil hates you. He may put you in places of prestige and build you up, but he'll let you down. Every man somewhere in life has been taken to that high mountain. He's been tested by the enemy. Maybe he didn't have to take you up there and offer you the kings of the world, because you sold out a lot cheaper. But we've had one man in our time, rather two men in our time, that sold out. One of them named Stalin and the other one named Mr. Hitler. No question about it. They saw the kings of the world as theirs. And one of them died in a bunker under the ground in Germany, committing suicide. You see, you can't do business with them. In America, that's us. We've been doing business with the devil all from the beginning of this nation. But in reality, though, since practically the turn of this century, we've sold out our heritage for a mess of pottage. It's not good news, and yet it is a wonderful news because it draws us so close to what I believe will take place in just 2 years. Now, you either believe that or you don't believe it. But if you better believe it, because it's a possibility that's very strong. If I'm wrong, the alternative is leaving me worse. See? Now, the only thing you can do, and we're told exactly what to do, where to stand. Having our loins girded with what? The truth. We're to put on the breastplate of what? Whose righteousness? His righteousness, not ours. You got nothing to boast about. In fact, the matter, you got a lot to be ashamed about. That's why I had to correct Joel's wife this morning, because we don't want any penance paid around here. We want repentance. And that's not joking. That's joking with her, but I mean, that's what God wants. He doesn't want people to pay penance. You think God needs anything you've got? Read, if you think so, read Paul's trip to Athens. He said that he doesn't need anything from you people. They built, and they were the biggest builders of temples. They had over statues to over 3,000 gods in Athens alone. And one that didn't even, just to be on the safe side, one that they didn't even know who he was. They're ignorant about him. We laugh at Athens. You know whose philosophy permeates America? Athens. Same thing. See, we that's why it says in the end they'd be boasted and proud. The Athenians were too. And the evidence is everywhere you go in Greece too. Nothing but death. You see it on every hand, every old building. Same way with Rome. Yes, I was a Roman Catholic. If I visited the city of Rome and saw the ruins that Romanism is causing over there, I'd be scared of it, sure enough, just looking at the ruins around there. But they don't observe. We're like sheep. That's what the Lord called us. We don't learn anything from other people. And it's good we don't. We need to learn it from the book. See? This is a very gloomy sermon, but it has a good ending. In that little butt down there. Ladies, I want to talk to you just these few minutes left here. Don't be taken in by the pseudo-knowledge, the lie speakers today. Because that's one of the things that we're told will be very prevalent. And of course, if you've got a television, you know what's already happening. They're the sort that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. They don't have to. Nobody knock on the door and say, I'd like to come in and deceive you. All you got that box in front of you, turn it on. There it is. And you'll learn something. See? And if you notice the crowds that are under scrutiny, learning, it's the women folk. And they're ever learning. Notice verse 7. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because there's no truth there. That simple. The lie speaker's there. The pseudo. Does not call them liars. He called them lie speakers. It's pseudo, you see. And then you have the other group that's strictly on the experience deal so that you can't miss it. Jennies and Jamborees. These are the magicians. Boy, we got so many magicians on the television now with a word of knowledge, it scares you. You see? You're laughing at that, but it's not funny. They're there. And one of them's trying to run for president of the United States. Can you imagine that? That's how far advanced we got. Believe it or not. In fact, in the state of Michigan, he scared Bush and Kemp to death. And they had to run. You remember that? Just a few weeks ago. That's faction. And he's the one. It tickles me. No, it don't tickle me. We shouldn't never, I guess, rejoice in seeing one of God's children deceived that way. Let me say this, though. No spirit can ever take over and influence your life unless you invite it yourself. If you're a child of God, the only way he can get into your and influence you is that you invite it. And we made mention yesterday, one of the prime men in this movement, he's got a formula. He tells you how to open your mouth to receive the ability to speak in tongues and to do all these other things. I'll be afraid to even quote it because the devil might think I was inviting somebody in. But that's the fact. They got formulas now how to manipulate the spirit world. What they don't know is the spirit world is manipulating them. And it isn't just that little peek squeak on the television. It's right from the Supreme Court down, all the way. Our whole nation is involved in this thing. This is no longer a Christian nation. It never was, really. It was built upon Christian principles as a foundation, but it's never been a Christian nation. But it has had the foundation so that Christian people could live here in peace and study the Word. But they're going to try to cut that off, too. They're not going to get anywhere there because there's still some. But they're going to try. In fact, they've already tried. They tried in Nebraska. They tried in Arkansas. They've tried in Tennessee. Tried in the state of Washington. Tulsa. I haven't come to Oklahoma City yet. It's going to be interesting when they do. But we do believe that God is going to stop it. And even though we are learning the lie everywhere we turn, even though we're seeing these magicians operate, they're not going to proceed any further. God's going to step in there and manifest their folly to all. As they're... Now, this tells a lie about the improvement of society. Verse 13, we didn't read this, but it needs to be read. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It isn't going to get any better. It's going to get worse until God himself steps in. But then yet, that's why this chapter closes out, that all Scripture is God-breathed, and that it's our full equipment to stand. To stand, having all the equipment. And the equipment is laid out for you in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. So you can't miss it. Now next week, I want to show you, and between now and then, there's some scriptures I want you to read. The 36th and the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The 59th, the 60th, and 61st chapter of Isaiah. The 59, 60, and 61 of Isaiah. Hosea, chapter 3 and chapter 6. Micah, chapter 4 and chapter 7. Eventually, we want to get around to Daniel, chapter 9. I don't know how long down the road that's going to be. Jeremiah, chapter 30 and 31. Haggai, chapter 2. And verse 2, with the 40th chapter of Isaiah. These are some reading material I want you to read, though, because over the next few years, a few weeks, we're going to be dealing with these things that demonstrate to us the background of the fixing of the stage for Elijah's coming. The only prophecies that we know that can be fulfilled in this dispensation are 1st and 2nd Timothy, because they're the only prophecies that are prophesied concerning us. But the framework while this is going on, in the term latter days and last days, is always in a framework of what is possibly going to happen with Israel. We see that too. And the possibilities are the staging of the setting the stage for the prophetic time clock of God to start. Not in this dispensation, but in the one that follows us immediately. In other words, it will just move out of this, like Acts 28. It just moved over a line, that's all. But when it moves over that line, the fireworks are going to start. And we're seeing all that background, you see, the thing that we're talking about. And we're seeing one of those scriptures computed for us, if we're right, exactly how long it'll take for this thing to start. And it isn't very long, I'll tell you. But you see all this in reading this. I'll pray about this when you read it, because you'll begin to see the same things that we were talking about. But you learn it yourself, and if you do, and it'd be a lot better that you learn it than for me to have to tell you about it. But if you do that, when we get to that aspect of the building up of the things behind the scenes that just sets its tone just for the curtain before it's raised. The curtain raiser, of course, will be Elijah coming. And everybody will see that. They'll know that. But it's all being laid out right now. Well, our time, I've kept you over about 5 or 10 minutes here. So we'll pick it up there next week.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.